Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you can tell that I have a little bit of a bug going on today, so I'm going to try and speak clearly. My apologies. You get a sermon at a whole octave lower today, so. Have you ever noticed that there's something about newborn babies? People get a little strange around them. Maybe you've seen this, maybe you've succumbed to this power yourself. There's like this kind of goo goo eyes thing that happens. People start acting silly and making strange sounds. Some people are more susceptible to this phenomenon than others. But even those of us with robust emotional and mental toughness can't resist this mysterious power that surrounds a newborn baby to make us act silly. Grown adult human beings start making ridiculous sounds, the most outrageous faces. All social norms are thrown aside, and even complete strangers, I've noticed, have no qualms about coming up and pretending they know your baby and making strange sounds and touching them. No place is safe. Grocery stores, malls, walking on the street. When you have a baby, all is fair game. I've noticed that this can even happen as a child grows older into maybe being in their twos or threes. But by then, they might start to develop some attitude. So when a stranger comes up to you in the grocery store, for example, and starts talking gibberish to your three-year-old twins, they start giving kind of a dirty look and thinking, "Dad, is this guy crazy?" And it becomes awkward. But a lot of people have a lot of things to say when you have a baby. They'll say, "Oh, he has your eyes," or, "Oh, she has your smile." Or they might decide that they know the future of your child, and they'll say, "Oh, I'm sure this little one's going to grow up to be a doctor just like mom, or to be a scientist just like dad," whatever it might be. Today in the gospel, we see an extreme case of this kind of baby goo goo gaga experience, right? Complete stranger, Simeon, he doesn't just come up and kind of touch Jesus on the cheek. He takes Jesus from their arms, lifts him up, and makes this huge prophetic pronouncement. But he doesn't say the normal things, and neither does Anna. They don't say, "Oh, I'll bet when they grow up, they'll be a teacher." He says, "When your child grows up, they'll be the savior of all humanity." No pressure, right, for Mary and Joseph. This is such an odd story for the early life of Jesus. And it's only told in Luke's gospel, which is kind of a clue for me to scratch my head and wonder, why does Luke find this so important to share? I think on one level, for Luke, it provides this extra level of confirmation, this external confirmation of who Jesus is. You know, it goes beyond just saying this is the word of Mary and Joseph that an angel said this is the Son of God. But here in Luke's gospel, we see this external confirmation all along. We see Zechariah and Elizabeth. Then we hear the angels talking to shepherds, and now we hear Simeon and Anna also affirming and confirming that this is indeed the Son of God. Another thing that's interesting in Luke is the temple plays a central role in Luke's gospel, much more so than the others. I mean, Luke's gospel begins with Zechariah in the temple, and then here we have Jesus being brought to the temple by Mary and Joseph. A little bit later, we'll see a 12-year-old Jesus in the temple talking with the teachers and the elders. And then at the end of Luke's gospel, the temple shows up again, and it's the only gospel that leaves the disciples praising God in the temple after Jesus' ascension. So Luke seems to be going to some extra lengths here to show us that Mary and Joseph are rooted in Jewish piety and tradition, in the law, in the Torah. He goes on to tell us that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. They follow this law God gave to Abraham in Genesis, that Mary is there for purification after a baby is born, a law from Leviticus, and then that Jesus is dedicated as the firstborn child to God, another law from Moses in Exodus. Why does Luke find this so important? Well, it seems that in Luke's gospel, more than any other, from the outset, this idea of salvation that's coming through Christ is expansive. Right from the beginning, Luke tells us that this is not just for Israel. This is for the Gentiles. This is for the whole world, for all flesh, for all people. Luke is clear about this from the beginning. And the, Simeon says as much. He says, this child is going to be a light to the Gentiles. That salvation is going to be seen in the presence of all peoples. In all the Gospels, John the Baptist, when he comes on the scene later, he quotes Isaiah 61 saying, I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. But it's only in Luke's Gospel that John goes on to say, so that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. God's salvation was so much bigger than what people were expecting. God's salvation was about to burst forth beyond the boundaries of their expectations. It wasn't just going to be for Israel, but for me, for you, for us who are Gentiles, for all the world, for all time. We have become God's people through this salvation. And it's for all people. It says that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Luke shares all these details about the rootedness of Mary and Joseph in Jewish tradition and the practices of these people because God was about to do something new. I think Luke shows us this to remind us what God is doing here and now today. It may be new and expansive, but that doesn't mean that it replaces the old or overthrows the old. But it also doesn't mean it's just going to restore it to how things once were. The ministry of Christ is firmly rooted in the tradition and the history of God's people, Israel. But it's moving forward and expanding out in new and exciting ways into the future. And in order to do this work, Jesus is going to have to break some of these rules. He's going to go ahead and eat with sinners. He's going to heal on the Sabbath. He's going to spend time with tax collectors and people of ill repute. He will show mercy to Canaanites, to Romans. And many people are going to get angry and say when Jesus does things, he doesn't respect God's law or purpose. But in fact, it's precisely because of God's law, God's word, and God's purpose that Jesus must do these things to reach all people with the love of God. All the way back to the beginning, God's covenant with Abraham said, I'm going to bless you so that you and your descendants will be a blessing to all people. You're blessed in order to be a blessing for others. And now in this baby, in this child, Jesus, Simeon and Anna rejoice because they see this promise fulfilled before their eyes. And the beauty of this newborn baby, they see God's love radiating out for all. They see that Jesus will indeed bring about God's expansive love for Israel, for the Gentiles, and for the whole world. Thanks be to God.